Hello, my name is Ray Moore. I'm a graphic designer at Family Talk, and I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Well, hello, everyone. I'm James Dobson, and we're about to begin our Family Talk program. But before we do that, I've invited my wife, Shirley, to join us for a very, very important announcement. Shirley, as many of you know, is chairman of the National Day of Prayer, and she got very excited about something that occurred just about a week ago.
Jim, if you remember, I came down to the exercise room where you were, and I just got a text message from my vice chairman at the National Day of Prayer, and I started squealing and hooting and hollering and jumping up and down, and you were wondering, what in the world is going on? And it was a wonderful victory that we've been waiting for since 2008, 6 years, where the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is just a small group of atheists out of Madison, Wisconsin, sued the governor of Colorado that he would not be able to write proclamations proclaiming a day of prayer in our state. And we lost in the Court of Appeals, and then it went to the state Supreme Court, which is one of the most liberal courts in the nation. And just thousands of people across this country, maybe millions, were praying about this decision. And we've been waiting, waiting, waiting. And why I was squealing is they finally came down in favor of the National Day of Prayer, that our governor can proclaim a day of prayer in this state. And that is a huge, huge answer to prayer. And I want to give you the right, my prayer warriors, to squeal and shout and holler because the Lord deserves the praise.
Well, Shirley, I want to tip my hat not only to the National Day of Prayer because you guys hung in there and won a great victory, but also the Alliance Defending Freedom, which at their own expense defended you in the courts all the way along. And this is the organization founded by Alan Sears, and they have done so many good things, and I really do want to express my appreciation to them. So that's all the time we have, Shirley. Congratulations on this great victory in a very liberal court.
It's a hip, hip, hooray day.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and today we're going to begin our celebration of Christmas. A few weeks ago, my co-host Ryan Dobson interviewed Louis Giglio, a man who has quietly become one of the most influential Christian leaders and pastors for the next generation. Louis has written a new book that I think is the secret to your family's best Christmas ever, and Ryan will be interviewing him today about that book. Louis Giglio is the founder of Passion Conferences, which is a global movement uniting university students to live for the fame of Jesus Christ. He is also the pastor of Passion City Church in Atlanta, Georgia, and the author of several books, including the one we're going to talk about titled Waiting Here for You: An Advent Journey of Hope. Louis lives in Atlanta, Georgia, with his wife, Shelley. You're going to really enjoy this program, so let's get to it now. Here's Ryan Dobson along with Louis Giglio on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Louis, thanks for being on the broadcast today. I appreciate it. I like this new book. It's called Waiting Here for You, An Advent Journey of Hope. And we're in our Christmas season. You've got this book on Advent, and I think most of our listeners, I have to be honest, are probably unclear with what Advent is. I mean, we have an Advent calendar for our kids. They open it every day. But for those that are unaware, that don't know, describe Advent.
Advent traditionally encompasses the four Sundays that lead up to Christmas. And the season of Advent, and if there's a listener today saying, you know, I've heard the word, I know there's something out there called Advent, but I don't really know exactly what it's all about. That was me. I grew up in church, in an amazing church, but in a church tradition where we didn't celebrate Advent. And it wasn't until later in life, later in my adult life, that I discovered that historically Christians had been rallying around these four Sundays. And the word Advent actually means expectation. And so what Advent does for us is it slows us down from the rush and the crush of Christmas, that commercial you talked about that's coming at us earlier and earlier every single year. Mm-hmm. And it gives us the opportunity to prepare our hearts for what we're celebrating on Christmas Day. And it's not the gifts, it's not the parties, it's really not even the family and the tree. It's remembering the faithfulness of God. And so expectation, or Advent, is setting us up to remember that God always comes through on his promises. And I happen to be of the tribe that, you know, Thanksgiving has to be a good ways in the rearview mirror before we break out the Christmas season.
That's right.
But whichever way you look at it, I think that the tendency is going to be that the miracle of Christmas gets lost. And mm-hmm. what we all need most in our lives right now is a reminder of the miracle power of God and the faithfulness of God. And Advent sets us up to remember this season, celebrate this season, and to lean into the faithfulness of God.
Yeah, I really agree. And I like how you've got that theme throughout the book. You know, Advent means expectation. There's a waiting period. There's an arrival. We were waiting on the arrival of Christ was the Advent season for Christmas, the 4 weeks on the arrival of Christ's birthday. But early on in the book, I think it's page one, when you talk about, you know, as modern Christians, when we finish with the Old Testament, we turn a page and it's the New Testament. We're right there. There's no time passage. And yet there were 400 years of darkness in between the Old and the New Testament. There were no prophets, no messages, no word from God. You know, even just pondering that, I was laying in my bed thinking about that, just wondering what would it be like to never hear from God? You know, that you've got scriptures and you've got the stories of old and you've got this oral tradition being handed down, and yet there were generations upon generations that didn't hear anything. That had to be incredibly difficult.
Well, I think what was difficult in that time, no doubt, is that people began to wonder, you know, is it true? And once it went from a parent to a child, it was like, okay, it's been delayed a little while. But when it went from a grandparent to a child, and then the great-grandparent, and then our great-grandparents, and you know, these stories of God's promise of the prophets, a Messiah is coming. The government's going to rest on his shoulder. Of his kingdom, there will be no end. He'll be the wonderful counselor and the Prince of Peace. He'll deliver the people of God. Mm. The promise is there. But once that promise has been passed down from about 10 generations, people start to wonder, is God going to come through? Mm. Or maybe all of this was a myth in the first place. And I think that where they were historically and on a calendar, honestly, is where a lot of people are living right now. And maybe it hasn't been 400 years for them, but sometimes 4 months can feel like 400 years when your husband is somewhere else and away from your family and you've tried everything and you feel like it's out of your control. The 4 months can feel like four centuries.
Sure.
And I think that's what Advent is doing for us, is it's reminding us, maybe it looks dark. Maybe you feel like God has gone silent. Maybe you feel like there isn't anything happening right now, at least above the surface that you can see. But here's what we have to remember. All through those 400 years, God was setting up his plan. All through the 400 years. Just because we can't see God working never means God isn't working. Mm-hmm. God's always working underneath the surface, orchestrating his best for our good and for his glory. And so that silence was broken one night, the craziest night of all nights. It was tax day, for crying out loud. And on tax day, in a cave in Bethlehem, where animals would seek refuge from a storm, in a manger, that 400-year silence was broken. And it was broken by the cry of a baby, Emmanuel, God with us. And so whatever people are waiting on, that's what Advent is about. Maybe they're waiting on a breakthrough, a restoration, a baby, a healing, a diagnosis. They're waiting for some financial thing to happen in their lives. And what God is trying to remind them of is, it may look like I'm not at work right now, but trust me, I have a plan and a purpose. And I'm orchestrating that plan and orchestrating that purpose right now.
Yeah. And, you know, I think of the listeners today, there's so many things going on in our country of, you know, jobs being lost and kids being prodigal and all the things that go on where we're waiting for the Lord saying, Lord, are you hearing my cry? Do you hear my prayer? I'm begging you. Are you out there? And there's just emptiness coming back on them. And that can be, it can shake your foundation at times.
It absolutely can, and it does. It does mine. It does anyone's, if you're really being honest. You know, if we kind of strip away the right church answer, waiting is the hardest thing we do. And it's it doesn't come naturally to humans to wait on anything.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about life and death here. We're talking about dreams. We're talking about a family's well-being. And it's difficult in that moment to wait. But what we have is history. And I think that's why Christmas comes every single year, because we remember again every single year that God has a 100% unbroken track record of faithfulness to his people. And he rarely shows up on our schedule. When we do, it's probably just because we lucked into his schedule.
Yeah.
He comes on his day at his time. In fact, even the birth of Christ, Paul wrote about it this way. He said, when the fullness of time had come. And so what that means is that God understood that that night was the right night. It wasn't just a happenstance night or a random night. It was the right night because all of the work that God needed to do for that to be the most precious moment in history had occurred. And so even going back to your mom and dad, and I understand what you're saying, I would have said it the same way, but on day one and week one and month one, when nothing was happening, something was happening. Nothing that could be seen with the human eye was happening, but God is working all the time. And even what's more beautiful than that too, for me, is that when we're waiting on God, we're not sitting in a vacuum. We're not sitting somewhere alone in the dark saying, God, I need you to come through. But if we follow Jesus, the Spirit of God is in us. Christ is in us. Mm-hmm. God is present with us all the time. The scripture said, where can I go from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I go down to the depths of the earth, that you are there. In the darkest night, you are there, because the day and the night are the same to our God. And so when we're waiting on God, which is what we always say, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on the Lord. We're also waiting with God.
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting with the Lord when we're waiting on the Lord. And so if we don't get the answer on day one, we still have God on day one.
That's right.
If we don't get a solution in month one, we still have the living God of gods present with us in that moment. And I think for all of us in the wait, that's really what we need.
Absolutely, it's what we need. And we forget it. We think that we're alone. You know, we think, oh, I'm alone. I'm in a season of a desert. I'm by myself. I'm waiting on the Lord. And the Lord's like, what do you mean? I'm right here. I've been here the whole time. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, I think the thing is with God, it's like he could give us what we want or what we perceive that we need.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes what God wants to give us is himself. And I know in my own life, a lot of the things I've wanted in life were not God's number one plan for me. And I see that in hindsight. And I say, thank you so much for not giving me that. But I think some of the things in my life, I don't really think God minds me having at all. I think he might withhold them, though, to pull me in and to draw me close to him. And sometimes the gift of God not giving us what we want when we want it is that as it turns our eyes up to see that he's there the whole time.
That's right.
And he really is for us what our hearts were created for. We weren't made for more things or even solutions to our issues. We were made for that intimate relationship with Jesus. And when there isn't anything else happening, a lot of times that pressure drives us to him. It can drive us away from him, but hopefully this Advent journey is going to allow people to be drawn towards him in the process.
You know, Louis, I know this is a big deal at your church. Your church really does celebrate Advent. But what got you excited about this topic and this subject? You know, you said you grew up, in a family where, you know, you kind of knew what it was a little bit, but it wasn't really celebrated. It wasn't as intense to you as it is now. What was the turning point that you went, wow, this is something that I've got to get my entire church behind? You know, you wrote a book about it. That takes a lot of effort. You know, you had to put it out there and get a publisher and do press and marketing and all that kind of stuff. And your church is involved in it and you do programs around it. What was the turning point for you?
Well, I think the main turning point for me was actually being the pastor of a local church. I've only been a pastor for 6 years, and on a calendar, our church is really only a little over 4 years old. And so all of a sudden now it's Christmas time, and we're leading a flock of people. We're leading families into the Christmas season. And for me, you know, I sort of looked up, and you've got a few options, and they're all great options. You can do a phenomenal Christmas spectacular. you can do a big, you know, community-wide Christmas presentation. And I began to ask the question with our team, what do we want to do to lead our house into Christmas and towards Jesus? Mm. And for me, it was, I want people to slow down and remember, not just remember the reason for the season. You know, we don't really need another cliche, but I wanted people to feel encouraged, to feel like their faith was being strengthened through this season. And so we started investigating Advent. And for me, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, it's the first time I really did stop and say, okay, what is going on with Advent? And as soon as I did, I realized this is the way I want to lead our house. I want to lead us into a multiple week journey towards the manger. And so we started sending a daily email out to all the people who call Passion City Church home. And for the whole Advent season, everybody got an email every morning. And it was just reminding them of the journey. Well, the next year, we did the emails again. The next year, we sort of beefed that up a little bit. The year after that, we said, hey, let's put a resource together that people can carry to work or carry to class. And so we did a beta version of Waiting Here for You. And our church did that last year. It was a great journey for our house. And so then this year, we've come back and we've sort of reinvented the book again. We've added to it, and we've done a whole new beautiful package for it. And we're just inviting other people in the world who want to be encouraged in this season to come and take the walk that we've been taking as a church already. And I can tell you personally, and I think there are a lot of stories in our house like this at Passion City, but I can tell you personally, it has been a game changer for me, because to be really honest, Christmas has been a stressor for me. Not Christmas as a pastor, just Christmas, just the season, getting the tree in the house. Yeah. My dad always had a breakdown on the day that we put the Christmas tree up. You could put it on a calendar. The day we brought the tree home and tried to get it in the stand, my dad was going to drink that day. My dad drank a lot of days, but he was going to drink a lot on that day. Mm-hmm. And he and my mom were going to have an argument. The tree we brought home that was 8 feet tall at the lot was going to be 5'3" by the time it went in the stand, because my dad and I were going to be on the back porch cutting that thing down, and that branch won't fit in the stand. And by the time we got the trunk, because we always bought a Scottish pine tree, which has the hardest trunk to get in a stand, because the tree is straight, but the trunk on every one of them is crooked.
Oh yeah.
And by the time we got that thing in the stand, you could literally set it up on the top of a dresser.
Oh, yeah.
It was just this little bitty tree, and my mom would be yelling at my dad would be yelling at the tree, and I would be kind of standing back trying to stay out of the way in the fray. And I think I inherited that from my dad. Christmas tree anxiety.
Sure.
And that time of year for me was always kind of like, oh, we got to get all this stuff done. And that seems like a little bitty thing.
But it became a chore.
But, you know, it sort of begins to domino into the season.
Yeah.
And then as you're leading a church and leading a house, and we have an event that we do every year called Passion, which is always happening around the first, second, third of January every year. And so it's a crazy time for our team. And Advent for me has been an absolute soul game changer, because it has caused me to rest in the faithfulness of God, to breathe in the promise of God. And by the time I get to Christmas, I really do love Jesus. And I really am grateful to him. And I'm hopeful for all the things that I'm still waiting for. And I'm in the same boat with everybody else.
Well, I'm thinking of how many listeners right now can relate completely to you. You just said something interesting. By the time Christmas arrives, I really do love Jesus, because I wonder how many people are just relieved that it's over. Oh, finally, it's over. We can now take the decorations down, because they've made Christmas a chore. It's this thing you have to get through. We have to get through the holiday season, and oh, we have to go to that party, and we've got to get that person a gift, and we've got to decorate the house, and you got to, you know, all those things.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny that, you know, things can change that perspective pretty fast. And when I was writing this book, obviously when you're writing something for Christmas to be released, you're not writing it at Christmas. And I was writing Waiting Here for You in the summertime 2 years ago, and working in the end of July and August. And every day I sat down to write, I ask God to help me get in touch with people who are going through really difficult times in the Christmas season. Because sometimes the perspective even shifts so much that, you know, you can barely get a tree up for Christmas because of the things that you're walking through as a family. And so I'm sitting down every day, and God just laid on my heart. He said, I want you to think about a family that's going through Christmas with cancer this year. Mm. And so every sentence you write, I want it to mean something to them. So there's not going to be any little trite phrases or any little bumper sticker faith in here. I want you to think, what would a family going through cancer, how would they interact with the words on this page? Would it be real to them? Would it speak to them? Because that's real perspective. You know, my dad had been through a really serious disability before he passed away. And one of the Christmases, my dad had fallen and he was in the hospital. And we took all our presents we'd wrapped up and we went to the hospital, Piedmont Hospital here in Atlanta, to celebrate Christmas Day in my dad's hospital room. And that was crazy enough, but what really blew me away was walking from the elevator down to my dad's room and seeing that there was a patient in every room. There was a family in every single room. There were nurses and technicians and doctors and support staff. And, you know, I had never thought of that before because Christmas morning was always our family around the tree and present after present after present being opened and a big lunch and family coming over. And now I'm realizing some people's perspective is we're going to open our presents in a hospital room. And I'm sitting there every day and I'm thinking, God, how can this encourage a family going through cancer this year? So that's July and August. The book gets finished. The manuscript gets turned in. And come Thanksgiving, our family gets a major cancer diagnosis. Serious cancer hits our family on Thanksgiving Day. And a few days later, on Thanksgiving Day.
Oh.
So a few days later, I pick up Waiting Here for You, the beta copy, the first copies last year, and I start the Advent journey, and I realize, Ryan, that we are the family that's going through cancer at Christmas.
Whoa.
And every word that's on the page is not just for a family or another family, it's for our family, because we're now complete perspective shift, complete change of view. And it's not all about how neat is the decoration or how wrapped are the presents. It's really about, are we going to make it through this season? And I think that's what we have to remember. And I hope that Waiting Here for You does that for people. I hope it helps them remember that Christmas doesn't have to be all tidy and perfect. A lot of people are going through such hard times. The last thing they're thinking about right now is getting a decoration on the mantle. They're worried about whether their loved one is going to make it to next Christmas or whether their family is going to be together again. And in the middle of that, isn't that the Christmas message? Because that's where Jesus arrived. Majesty in the mess. The Son of God in a manger. And that's the hope that we're holding out. And I hope and pray that families that are struggling will pick up Waiting Here for You, and it will breathe on them. It'll breathe hope onto them. It's called an Advent Journey of Hope. That's the subtitle.
Yeah.
And that's the message we want to encourage people with. And it's encouraged our family. We're coming now into our second Christmas with cancer. And praise God, we're coming into it hopeful. We've had a whole year of treatments, but we're coming into it believing God, hoping in God, confident in God. And we're going to do Advent again this year waiting. We're waiting for a healing. We're waiting for God to do what only God can do. We're waiting for the news from the doctor that says the chemo is working and is doing what we want it to do. We're waiting for that confidence that we're going to have another Christmas and another Christmas and another Christmas together. But even in the midst of all of that, God's been more real, Ryan, in the waiting, in the journey, than at any other time in our lives.
Wow. Louis, that's amazing. I'll tell you what, my family is going to go through this book together in the Advent season, and we will be thinking of your family while we wait on the Lord in our family. I appreciate you being on today. I appreciate this book and that you're helping people that are in need, because this time at Christmas, sometimes we don't remember that there are people that are going to be in a hospital on Christmas Day. There are going to be people on Christmas Day that get terrible news or that are going through that season of waiting and they're just trying to get through this season. And I think this book is going to bless them. I know it's already blessed me. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I hope you have a fantastic Advent and a really beautiful Christmas.
You too. Let's do this again sometime.
Look forward to it.
God bless.
Well, what a great way to celebrate Christmas this year. I hope that all of our listeners will go out and get a copy of Louis' book, Waiting Here for You, An Advent Journey of Hope, and will go through the devotions with their families. We've been listening to a program titled Advent, The Secret to Your Family's Best Christmas, here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Dr. Meg Meeker, and if you would like more information about Louis Giglio or his new book, please visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or call us at 877-732-6825. Thank you for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.